This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Update. The update comes from the NFL Scouting Combine. It's our second day here. One more day tomorrow. GM Brandon Bean stopped by to visit. We spent a long time with him last hour. You'll be able to hear some of those comments coming up on our website, BuffaloBills.com, a little later on this afternoon. Bean touching on a variety of topics. He mentioned that the Bills have talked with the agent for defensive lineman Jordan Phillips in recent weeks. He is approaching free agency on March 13th. Bean says Phillips could be an important piece of Buffalo's defensive line moving forward. On the draft, Bean says he sees a lot of depth at tight end, wide receiver, and offensive line, perhaps more depth than last year. Again, Brandon Bean's entire interview will be up on our website coming up in just an hour or two, BuffaloBills.com. Around the NFL, Jason Witten has decided he's not done playing football just yet. Retired last May, spent last season on the in the broadcast booth with ESPN Monday Night Football, but he's going back to the Cowboys to play for his 16th pro season. 15 years there, 11 Pro Bowls. Jason Witten coming back to play in the National Football League. Here at the Combine, most of the attention was focused on the measurements for quarterbacks, in particular Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback. He weighed in at 207 pounds today. Height 5'10" and 1/8", hand size 9.5", measures up pretty well, according to most observers here at the Combine. Jets could be open for business well ahead of the draft at the end of April. They have the third overall pick, but reportedly, according to Mike Maccagnan, the team is willing to entertain scenarios to let them move down, perhaps even with the trade with the crosstown New York Giants. Buffalo Sabres back at practice today. They've got a home game tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sabres back-to-back games this weekend. After Pittsburgh, they go right to Toronto for a game Saturday against the Maple Leafs. The Sabres right now 8 points behind Pittsburgh for the second wildcard spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's the update from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome back. We're at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. I'm John Murphy. That's Steve Tasker. And joining us right now, former Buffalo Bills safety, 2006 season, seven seasons in the National Football League playing safety. Right now, you see him on NFL Matchup on ESPN. Happy to have Matt Bowen here. Matt, good to see you. I love running into you here at the Combine every year.
Yeah, great to see you again. And we do. Every year we see each other at the Combine. This is one of my favorite events in the NFL calendar. Because, one, going through the combine myself and knowing the grind these players are going through, I really value it. I do. I know there's always a discussion year in and year out. Do the numbers matter? Do the measurements matter? I think they do. Because I think it's all tests. It's a job interview. How can you perform after 4 days of physical and mental testing and then go out and test on the field? And there's so many different key aspects, from the medical to the interviews to the written exams and ultimately the physical exam when you get out and run the 40, do the vertical jump. I think it's a valuable part of the process.
Talk a little bit about what these guys go through. I mean, they do show up, and they've got to get a physical, and the physical isn't just like blood pressure and temperature.
No.
I mean, they EKG the whole nine yards. They do a lot of stuff, and then they go through that. How hard is it to perform on the field, even in a 40-yard dash, even in this bench press thing that's going on behind us right now? How hard is it to do your best when you've got all this other stuff that they throw at you beforehand?
Right. I'll tell you what, when I got done, and back then the DBs ran on Tuesday, I felt like I played a game. You're that drained, you know, and you wake up the next morning, even that later that day when I was getting back on the plane to go to Iowa City, you feel like you've been hit a little bit, like you just went through four quarters of a football game, because I think it's the emotional swings of being here. You're going to be nervous. You know, I remember being here, you know, and I was a late-round draft pick, and you see – this is in 2000. You see Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher. Like, whoa, this is real.
it is real.
You're sitting down for an interview with these guys, and you're nervous. You know, and it's just like any job interview, but this one is extended, and a lot of people are watching. And you bring up a great point about the medical. You go through 32 team doctors. Every single one of them meets with you. And if you have any injury history, they're going to send you off for MRIs or X-rays. So that's another aspect of this. And you really have to check a lot of boxes. And as a player, you have to know. Even the top five picks, you're not going to check every box. But can you come out here and perform? That's why I said I valued it, because it is ultimately a huge test just to have a chance to be in the league.
Matt Bowen is our guest, NFL matchup on ESPN every weekend during the regular season. The longest-running football show on television, 35 years. That's pretty cool. It's a great show. I told you yesterday, I just have trouble finding it. I wish they would give it a spot and keep it there. But it's a great show. We talk to Greg Cosell every week. And you are right in your element on that show, because what you do, it seems to me, what you do best, as well as anybody, is break down film, diagram film. You do that all week on that show, or every week on that
show. Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And, you know, that's how I was as a player. You know, I made my living in the NFL, covering kicks, playing gunner, playing personal protector. And when I did play safety, I had some limitations as a player. So, for me, it was the notebook. That's what got me to make the team every year for seven years in the league and allow me to stay in the league. So, basically, what I've done is I've taken that and used it for an NFL matchup. And, you know, Greg Cosell is awesome. Greg is such a smart mind and so professional. He's made me so comfortable on that show. And working with Sal Pal, it's a great combination. Yeah. And we do a great job during the week with our guys in NFL matchup of picking the plays, breaking down the film, trying to put out a product that is going to give fans what they want, but also a teaching tool.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's the best part about it, is the teaching tool.
What's the most intriguing part this week? What are you looking for? And you come in here, I know you've got a list of the names. Mm-hmm. You talk to these guys, you talk about them, you're kind of prepped. Mm-hmm. Who are you looking for this week? You want to get your eyes on and say, all right, I want to see this guy in person.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm gonna point towards the DBs first. You know, that's my area of expertise, I guess. But, you know, I love seeing the quarterbacks throw. I do. I love seeing the quarterbacks throw, because I think they should perform well here. But I like to see just their mannerisms, how they interact with the other players. I think it's a great thing you can see at the Senior Bowl, too. How do they work with players at the Senior Bowl? How quickly can they pick up the chemistry of a wide receiver running a comeback versus running a square in at 15 yards? Obviously, the testing's great. You know, speed sells a wide receiver and defensive back. We all know that. But it doesn't tell the ultimate story. I always tell people, if you're a safety and you run a 4.6, you can still play like a 4.4 guy. If you play with your eyes, if you take the angles to the football, if you understand formations and personnel down and distance, you're going to play faster than the guy who actually did run a 4.45. So I think you all have to take this stuff and make it a part of the puzzle, okay? Because ultimately you're going to go back and you're going to turn on that game film. You're going to go talk to the college weight coaches, basically assistant head coach in college. You're going to talk to their position coach. If you can talk to their high school coach, you talk to their high school coach and find out what type of character, what type of football character they have and leadership skills they have, which is another part of it. But ultimately, I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is it goes back to what you put on film. And some of the best coaches I've always played for, you know, we've talked about Greg Williams before. He used to be the head coach in Buffalo. Greg used to always say this: your film, whenever you play, you are autographing your resume. So that film is your resume. That's what you're putting out there for everyone to see.
The point you make about a safety candidate running a 4.6 but can play like he's a 4.4, if you were a team, if you were in a position to be a personnel guy, how would you measure that? How would you find that? How would you see that?
Well, I think you look at how fast he plays on film, because we've all seen guys that run low 4.4 and you don't see it on the film. You know, you might see it for a wide receiver. You might see it on a 9 route or a deep ball, but you don't see it in his transitions. You don't see the immediate burst of the field. You don't see the change of direction ability. What you have there is just a stopwatch time where a player might not be that productive. You know, if I'm a scout and I have a safety that I really like, I want him to run a 4.6, so he falls to me, right? You know, so it's all part of the process. But that's why these times, you know, and I played with guys in the league, and Steve, I'm sure the same way, that didn't test well, that were phenomenal football players. Ultimately, got to put that helmet on, those pads on, and play.
Well, so we're sitting here on One Bills Live. We're talking about all the guys that the Bills are not in the quarterback derby this year. They're kind of a step beyond that. Mm. They're kind of trying to put pieces around this young quarterback they've got. And they're starting at their offensive line, and then free agent market's on the cusp. What do you see in the free agent market or at this draft, and how those two things mesh at the offensive line?
Well, if you're looking, let's start with the draft. If you're looking at the offensive line, I love Jonah Williams from Alabama. Mm-hmm. I do. And there's already been part of that measurables here. I think his arms were 33 5/8, and some people are going to say, well, that's doesn't meet the requirements of an offensive tackle. Man, turn on the film. He is nasty at the point of attack. He's a guy I would love to coach. And see, that's how I always look at.
Right.
What guy would I love to coach? What guy would I love to have in that offensive line room? And Jonah Williams is a guy coached by Nick Saban's coaching staff, played in a bunch of games, played in high-level games, high-level competition on the national stage and in the SEC conference. He will come off the ball and move you off the football. He's got the footwork to kick back and slide. I think he can play tackle in the NFL. That's one of the guys right there. I wrote down a couple of the free agents. Trent Brown, who played for the New England Patriots.
Huge.
And he had a great run in the playoffs. You would turn on the film in the playoffs with the New England Patriots, and you watch him run either power or zone runs, and Trent Brown would move that side of the offensive line and wash him down. Donovan Smith from Tampa's going to be a free agent. Juwan James, the Miami Dolphins, I think had a good year on film. Darrell Williams, the Carolina Panthers, is going to be a free agent. You look inside, Roger Saffold from the Los Angeles Rams, he's going to be a free agent. So depending on your cap space, there's going to be opportunity where you could, Steve, go into the first round already having signed a free agent and then go ahead and go back to the offensive line again and say, look, we're going to go all in on this offensive front, and we believe that there's a deeper class at wide receiver that we can get some talent at wide receiver later in the draft. What we want to do is build that offensive front in front of Josh.
We're with Matt Bowen, NFL matchup on ESPN. Hey, Matt, so we've talked about O-linemen. Receivers are a need position for the Buffalo Bills, and you wrote about one of them, DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, who's might be a good fit for a quarterback like Josh Allen.
Yeah, rare combination of – I don't know what he measured in at today, but what he was listed at and what you see on film was 6'4", 230, and can move.
Yeah.
And Steve, you know, that is a rare combination of size and speed. That checks every box. And I remember going back and watching his film, and, you know, we have our computers from NFL matchup, and you can pick anything you want, 3rd and 2 to 6 receptions, deep ball receptions, whatever it may be. And I turned on the film against Alabama, and he's against an Alabama corner who's coached by Nick Saban. And the corner tries to jam him. He beats the jam, and the separation is immediate. Immediate. Huge catch radius. And that's what my thinking, again, from a coaching perspective here, working with Josh and given his arm talent, given his ability to push the ball down the field, then you're going to see more man coverage. So when you have man coverage, you want a receiver that's got that deep ball speed, got the size of the point of attack to be physical at the catch point, but also has the catch radius. And you know, even the best quarterbacks aren't perfect every time. You go outside your frame and make a play. And I think DK Metcalf could be one of those guys, and I think his stock is really going to rise because I expect him to test well.
How much do you put into the history of injuries that some of these guys come in? DK is a candidate for that.
That's a great point.
He's had some nicks, and some of these guys have a history of it. And you can say, well, gosh, how do you know the guy's got stepped on? He got hurt.
Right.
Well, what kind of value do you put on that or downgrade?
I think that is all based on your relationship with your training staff and your team doctors and what you do here. Okay, so that's why you go through these medicals. And if your team doctor and your head trainer, if they sign off on him and say he's clear to play, he's ready to play, he doesn't have an injury that is going to show up later down the line, whether that, you know, some guys come into the league and they have cartilage issues already with their knees. Well, it's not going to get any better, right? So, but if there's injuries that you think that you can check off and say he is healthy enough to play, it's not going to have an impact on his career 5 or 10 years down the road, then you can invest in that.
Hey, it is a defense that is said to be pretty strong, or is a combine that is said to be pretty strong defensively, and some very interesting defensive line prospects. You highlighted one of them on Twitter today, Quinnen Williams from Alabama. What do you see from him?
Just the best way I can say about him is he's an impact guy. And what I mean by an impact guy is that someone that makes so many plays but also creates chaos for his other teammates to make plays. You'll watch him against Oklahoma. He doesn't make every play, but he's living in the backfield. And now his linebackers can run free to the football. Now his defensive ends can crash inside. And you pull up his negative plays on our computers at NFL matchup, tackles for losses and sacks, it fills up the page. And just take your pick on what you want to watch.
Yeah.
He's explosive off the football. He's got good hands at the point of attack. Again, coached by Nick Saban, so the technique's going to be there. And he's young. You know, this was his first year as a full-time starter, I believe. But the amount of production he had and the speed he gets off the ball and the things he can do with his hands and create leverage and be strong at the point of attack, you know, I would be surprised if he's there at 9.
Yeah.
But if he is, hey, that's the pick all day.
Could this guy, Ed Oliver, be there at 9?
I believe he will be at 9.
8 months ago, he would not have been.
No. And Ed Oliver's interesting because he doesn't have – he was drawing comps to Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's unfair for college players to draw comps to Aaron Donald. But he doesn't have the same amount of pass rush ability that Williams has from Alabama. Does it mean he can't get there? Of course he can get there with development and pro coaching and experience at the NFL level. But with him, you're not going to find a defensive tackle that's going to push up the field and then run down a bubble screen. That's what he does.
Right.
His effort level is outstanding. His burst off the football is great. His hands, his power at the point of attack. It's just the pass rushing ability. And I think that's key because right now you look what the game is kind of shifting, and it's become more quick passing, more play action, more quarterback in the pocket, so to say. Those interior pass rushers have so much value right now. And everyone looks at what the Rams and Aaron Donald, what he can do and how he can take over a game. But those two players right there, Williams and Oliver, can wreck things in the middle of the field.
There's another position in this draft that seems to be a little bit deeper than recent drafts, and that's tight end. Mm-hmm. The Bills have one on their roster
right,
now.
Right.
What's the top tight end in this combine? I mean, what can you look for, and how high could he possibly be taken? And how deep is it? What does it, when they say it's deep, how many guys does that mean?
Well, I think there's possibly three first rounders.
Okay.
Okay, because you have Noah Fant from Iowa, TJ Hockenson from Iowa, and Irv Smith from Alabama. And TJ Hockenson, now I'm an Iowa alum, so I'm going to get a little excited. But, TJ Hockenson plays like George Kittle from San Francisco 49ers, in that he's a three down player. He's someone that can play in line on the line of scrimmage and block down or reach block. He's someone that can flex from the formation. He's also someone that can run routes in the middle of the field. I'm interested to see what his testing numbers are, but I think he's athletic enough based on his film, and he is straight nasty at the point of attack, whether it's running through tackles or blocking in the run game. And I think he's a tone setter for your team because I always look at, even though we're talking spread offenses in the future of football, the tight end is still, in my opinion, should be the extension of the offensive line as well. And that's right. What they teach at Iowa under Kirk Ferentz. Now, Noah Fant's a little different. That doesn't mean that Noah Fant can't play in line. He can. But his athletic measurables, I think, are going to jump off the chart here in Indianapolis because he is more of that slot tight end that can flex from the formation, create those matchups, will be great inside the red area and on 3rd-and-7-to-10 situations where he can create leverage and use his catch radius. And Irv Smith from Alabama, I really like Irv Smith. I really do. Another guy can block in line because of the Bama pro running style attack. But he runs the entire route tree. He'll run deep corner routes. He'll run seam routes. He'll run shallow crossers, quick outs. He does a lot for that offense. And I think based on his body type and the physicality he brings to the game, he's a guy who will play 8 to 10 years in the league if he stays healthy.
Are these guys legitimate first-round candidates, first half of the first round even?
I think Hockenson is legit top 15. I think okay. He is. And I think Fant and Irv Smith, I think they're the second half of the first round, and they could slip into the second round. I mean, right. That happens. We see it happen all the time.
You follow the league, obviously, with when you work with NFL matchup on ESPN, but just an overview of the Buffalo Bills, if you would, what they need, where they're at, and how far away they are from being contenders. I mean, we've been waiting for a while.
Well, we talked off the air. I love the secondary.
Yeah.
I love the secondary. You know, you have another Hawkeye, Micah Hyde, who, Micah's versatility, Micah's leadership, his professionalism off the field. Micah Hyde is a true pro.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way you can start. I think it's the best compliment you can get outside of being tough, and Micah's tough as well. At Poyer at safety, Tredavious White. I remember watching Tredavious White at the Senior Bowl, and he didn't have the hype of some of the top-tier corners. But you watch Tredavious White in drills, you say, one, this young man's been coached extremely well, and you understand that coming from LSU because of his technique, but his competitiveness, the way he competes. And that's the first thing I look for, especially at the cornerback position, is can they play off-man, can they play press? I get all that. Can they compete? I want guys to compete. I want physical guys that compete in the secondary. We have lost the idea, and you'll hear about it all week in this draft process. Do they have ball skills? Do they have range? John, this stuff's great. Are they going to hit? Are they going to be physical? Can you still intimidate and dictate the flow of the game from the secondary? Because if you do that, if you dictate the flow of the game from the secondary, you're going to win a lot of football games.
The other guy in that secondary we talked about a little bit off the air was Levi Wallace, the undrafted rookie free agent corner who wound up starting the last half dozen games. He came out of nowhere, but you noticed him before, I guess, right?
I do work for the SEC Network at ESPN during the draft process, and I remember watching film on Levi because he was targeted a lot. He was targeted a lot in college, but he made a lot of plays, too.
Right.
He was always around the football. And, again, he doesn't have the elite measurables in terms of with being a guy that likes to use his hand.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a huge frame. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's who he is. Can he get bigger? Yeah, he'll get bigger as he grows as a professional athlete. But that's really who he is. And, again, that's why we were talking about someone who competes. That was all over his college film. Because he was targeted a lot, and he was put in adverse situations, and he responded.
You mentioned also one of the things that kind of gets lost in the show, he had 10 guys off his team when he came out
that
were drafted ahead of him.
Right.
Yeah. And so – it's like, well, how many guys are you going to take? you kind of get lost in the shuffle when there's that many guys who pro teams are conversing about, and they say, oh, by the way, we got this other guy, Levi Wallace, and they're like, well, listen,
Right? It happens. Sure it does. And this will happen again this year at Alabama. They're going to have 8-9 guys drafted, and the guys that
– and they'll be the 10th, 11th, right. and 12th guy that will also play probably.
Look at Foster.
Yeah.
Look at Foster.
Yeah, Robert, yeah. Hey, speaking of competitors, you know who we talk about a lot is – as a great competitor, maybe his strongest suit is Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. You saw him in his first year. I'd still maintain that his competitive nature, his fire, is among of the many assets he has. That might be number one on my list.
I would tell you this. If I'm in that locker room as a special teams player or defensive guy, that sells to me.
Oh, sure.
That's the first thing I look for. You know, the numbers and all that stuff. And, Steve, you know, this, the players look more at your leadership. And it doesn't have to be what you say. It's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And how you run the football team. Because everyone knows you're a quarterback. It doesn't matter if we're talking Friday nights in high school or the pro game on Sundays. You're going to be considered a leader when you walk in there. Everyone's always looked to you. And that stuff sells during the game. That stuff sells during the game. It sells. And obviously, I don't get to see Josh practice. But I'm telling you, it will sell in practice. It will sell in the weight room. Everyone will always be watching him. If he has the energy level and the leadership there, it's going to work.
Particularly when you get on the game, and his one of his first games was that signature play when he hurdled a linebacker. Right. And you're standing, and you know what it's like. I mean, I stood on the sidelines for 13 years watching good, really good guys play. When they're willing to do something that's physically uncomfortable or take a risk or put themselves in harm's way or, you know, throw themselves in front of the chariot to win for the rest of us, I kind of got to jump on board with it. And yeah, I got to, I'll do that too then. Particularly if it's a quarterback. If one of your great players does that, you're willing to do the same. And that, when you've got a whole roster of 45 guys on a game day that's willing to do that, you're hard to beat.
I
and
agree.
If it starts with a guy like your quarterback, and we saw it from Josh, that says a lot about what the rest of the roster is going to expect of themselves.
I agree, 100%. And it's going to make them practice at a different tempo.
Right.
It's going to make them, prepare differently, you know, or be more prepared. And you bring up a great point. I played 2 years in Green Bay with Favre.
Right.
And you saw it every Sunday from Favre.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Favre go out there, come banged up and hurt, and still go out there and perform at a high level and what he did in the field. You know, and I was saying off the air, I went through some of Josh's plus 15-yard throws before I came down here on the film. I still go back to that game at Miami. Some of the throws he made in that game.
Yeah.
That is high-level stuff.
Yeah. He wasn't getting a lot of help from the line.
No, but he made some plays in that game. And obviously he is – gone beyond flashing his athleticism. Anyone who's watched the NFL football season this past year knows that Josh is an athlete.
Yeah.
And he's a rare athlete of that size. Mm-hmm. But what he can do throwing the football, that's all going to be part of his growing process and getting the players around him. You start to do that, and you're going to see his growth level take off.
Matt Bowen from ESPN and NFL matchup on ESPN. Matt is also an accomplished high school football coach, defensive backfield coach for IC Catholic Prep High School outside Chicago. Three-time Illinois state champions, right? Three in a row you've won. Congratulations.
We've won three in a row.
Look at you.
It's been an awesome ride.
Nice.
But you say an awesome ride. You have an awesome ride every weekend when you're working in, Cherry Hill, New Jersey?
Yes.
Doing the ESPN show on Fridays, and then you get to your games. How does that happen?
That's even more of a wild ride. So what happens is I do the show, and then I head back to the Philadelphia airport.
And that's Friday you do the show?
Yeah, Friday morning.
Oh, Friday morning, okay.
I head back to the Philadelphia airport. And then I landed at O'Hare, and, you know, flying from Philly to O'Hare, that means you're never on time.
Right?
You're never on time. So I get there, and I take an Uber right to the stadium. So I wear my coaching gear on the plane. I change that NFL matchup into my IC Catholic gear and get in the plane and take an Uber to the stadium and throw a headset on and go.
That same day, same night.
Same night.
That's awesome. Great.
Well, did you congratulations,
miss
man.
Miss games or anything? Or no, you got
the this year I did miss one because we had thunderstorms early, so the game got kicked up.
Blame the airlines. Go ahead.
But it is wild.
Yeah.
By Friday night after the game's over,
you're done.
I'm gassed. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, high school football is I still say it. Friday nights are special.
Yeah.
Anywhere you play, whether you're in Buffalo, New York, Chicago, down in Texas, it doesn't matter. Every school has their own pride, their own atmosphere, and I love high school football.
Matt, thanks for this. It's great to see you again.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Matt Bowen, our guest, NFL matchup on ESPN, the longest-running football show on television. Also former Bills safety, 7 years in the NFL. He joined us here. We're at One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, welcome back. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We're coming to you from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It finally feels like a combine, doesn't it, with the bench press going on right behind us?
Yeah, they're going crazy over there. It's fun, though, too, because we get to these things early in the week, and it's kind of quiet, you know. Like yesterday, they were all getting physicals. Nobody was even here. You know, it was just the media guys, us at Radio Row. And then all of a sudden, everything shifts gears, you know. They got people screaming behind us. They got guys on stage doing bench press. They got the Lombardi Trophy, people getting pictures with it, you know.
Fans coming right in here to
the Radio
Row area. Fans are walking,
strolling around.
Hi,
it's you know, it just shifts gears. All of a sudden, it becomes an event instead of just this place we're doing the show from.
Yeah. So what you hear, the noise you hear, is the bench press, which started up about a half hour or so ago, and we're into the offensive line part of the bench press testing, and offensive linemen numbered alphabetically come through one at a time and see how many times they can put it up, right?
225 pounds, how many times?
Yeah. 33, I think, is the record somewhere in that.
That's pretty close. I saw a guy, the guy just did 28 reps. Oh,
that's good. Who was that?
I don't know who that was.
That's going on behind us.
Dude with that arm sleeve tattoo going down.
You'll hear some of that noise as we move through the show, the final half hour of the show, and getting ready for tomorrow's show. We ran into our buddy Lorenzo Alexander here a little bit ago, and he's going to be on the show with us tomorrow. Lorenzo, of course, with the what do we do on Fridays? What do we call it?
The Friday Lowdown.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's Lorenzo's
perfect
day. He'll be with us tomorrow. We've had a good show today already. Matt Bowen was outstanding. I think he's one of the perfect guests for our show and our listeners and viewers, Steve, because he's analytical. I mean, he's not just spitting out stuff about NFL players.
And he spends time on it. And as a former player, he kind of gets into the stuff that makes a good player good and a bad player not so good, or a talented player not so good. You know, this guy's nasty at the point of attack. This guy, you know, he's mean. You know, those kind of adjectives, they don't get thrown around very much by people that haven't played,
right?
Because they don't know what they're looking at. And when you get a guy who's got an attitude, and attitude's contagious, good and bad, you know. And when you've got a bunch of guys with great attitudes who are aggressive and they like what they do, it becomes the personality of your team, and you become exponentially better. It's part of, you know, what people poo-poo is culture, but it's huge. It makes a big difference on an individual basis, and certainly collectively it can make an enormous difference.
We thank Matt for joining us and providing that insight. As he walked away a minute ago, he said, hey, let's do this again after the draft. He'll have some thoughts after the draft, so we'll definitely get him on. Hey, our Twitter poll today, we haven't tended to it well, I don't feel, but we can revisit. Which big-name player do you want to see the Bills acquire this offseason? Chris Brown's comments about Antonio Brown got me thinking. I believe that's where the Twitter poll originated. Jay and I had a few cocktails last night, discussed Twitter poll topics, just one. But that was really where
just
it came
one topic.
Yeah, one topic. We got through one topic and talked about something else. But which big-name player do you want to see the Bills acquire this offseason? We've got time to talk about it on the phone, too, 803-0550, or outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the Twitter poll itself, 34% of you have somebody in mind that's not on our list, so that's why you need to call us and let us know. 33%, a third of you say Antonio Brown. 21% say Patriots defensive lineman Trey Flowers, and 12% say Le'Veon Bell. Well, listen to any of that. Make the case.
Yeah.
Let's take a few phone calls here. Jim on the line from Williamsville. Hello, Jim. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys? That was a great segment with Matt. I thought that was a great job he did. I was calling more on the news about Jason Witten, and I was really trying to pick Steve's brain about whether he thinks that's a competitive advantage for the Cowboys for him to go now into the locker room after being up there in meetings, talking to people, and I wanted to hear his opinion on that.
I don't think it's any kind of advantage at all for the Cowboys. Like, say, for instance, if the Monday Night Crew did a bunch of Philadelphia Eagles games or Washington Redskins games or New York Giant games and Witten was in the booth and got a chance to talk to their coaches and players, that is not going to be a competitive advantage from one year to the next as a broadcaster.
Things change so much year to year.
Yeah, and there's not – I would be shocked that the Redskins, Giants, or Philadelphia Eagles gave Jason Witten or Booger McFarland and the crew of Monday Night Football anything that would help them, that would hurt them competitively in any game that they were playing while they were broadcasting, and certainly by the same token, that wouldn't help them a year later when he actually went on the field.
You've been in hundreds of those production meetings over the years in your roles at CBS. when you first came off the field and with your close association with the Buffalo Bills, did you ever get the sense that when you're meeting with, say, the Dolphins or the Patriots or the Jets, that the coach or the player or somebody else in the meeting room might think, I'm not going to tell Steve Tasker that. He's still close with Buffalo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little bit.
They would know that.
It happened a couple of times, where, particularly on Bills games, obviously, where you're talking in the I remember early in my career I was doing a Colt game and Jim Moore was still coaching, and they were playing the Bills. And he came over and had the conversation. He goes, listen, I don't have to worry about any of this getting back to one Bills drive, right? And because this was on a Friday, and it was in Indianapolis. And I was like, absolutely not. And I said, listen, coach, no, they're not going to know anything that I find out of this here. And also, they're not going to ask, you know.
Yeah.
So, because it just doesn't come up like that. The only – what we're really sensitive about in that is if I've talked to, say, the Buffalo Bills on Friday, that's a home game for them, and we're doing their game, and I ask Coach McDermott something, and he was to say, yeah, well, you know, they tell us – or our film study tells us that they don't bootleg when they run it to the right. They don't bootleg left for their quarterback because he can't throw it because he's right-handed. So they've never run a bootleg to the left, you know. Or he'd say, we haven't. The Bills haven't. He goes, we're going to run it tomorrow. We're going to run a bootleg to the left tomorrow. So, you know, you don't go to the opponent and say, what happens if the Bills, like, run a bootleg to the left tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You don't do that because it tips them off that, well, why would they run a bootleg to the left tomorrow? They've never done it before. So there's kind of things you can ask. You got to be careful of the questions you ask both teams so that you don't give them any inkling as to what you may know about the other team. You can't ask a question that is revealing about your knowledge about the other team because then it becomes a competitive advantage. So you really have to, for me, that's job one. You can't tip the competitive balance.
You got to be mindful of what you're asking, as well as what the information.
It's never been an issue for us.
I got it.
Yeah.
Hey, our Twitter poll topic today generating some interest on Twitter. Which high profile player do you want the Bills to acquire this offseason? A couple of responses. William Conley tweets in from the tweet sheet. I like Golden Tate. Would bring experience to the young wide receiver group. Always seems to get open and reliable hands. Okay, he's not elderly, but he's certainly in the second half of his NFL career.
Well,
right?
By NFL standards, he's old, but yeah.
From Bills and Mets fan, Matt Paradis seems like a good pickup. Phil, an obvious need with no drama, just an injury concern. Okay, I can deal with that. And Brian Rossignol on the tweet sheet: Tyrell Williams is the best fit wide receiver currently available. A huge box could, 90% sure, be checked off. Well, he's healthy, young, and somewhat accomplished in a bloated system. Got to think about that. Learned from Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen. Not going to outshine the young room, but fit well. Freeze draft up. Okay, a lot of arguments there. And I asked Daniel Jeremiah about him, and he thought so too. Tyrell Williams, right, of the Chargers.
Yeah, you need a guy. It's interesting because you get these teams, some teams, by happenstance or rarely by plan, they get a bunch of good players at one spot, and you can get somebody off of that, and that is a real plum, because if you can get a guy like Tyrell Williams who's been kind of held back because of lack of opportunity, you sign that guy, and he wants to prove how good he was. He wants to prove that he could have played on the other team, his previous team. They come in, even if you pay him a lot of money or, you know, the going rate, they still have a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are hard to find. And so I think he's right in the right spot. And, you know, that's kind of the ripe fruit of free agency that I think the Bills need to grab.
I agree.
I think he's a perfect fit.
We got time for more responses to that. Which big-name guys would you like to see the Bills go after? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. But now, Steve, you want to play a little NFL True and False?
Okay,
I'm ready. It's the game show that's taken over the country.
That's
NFL
right.
True and False.
Brought to you by your friends at Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese.
Bingo. True and False. The quarterback paradigm is shifting. This comes from a piece on The Ringer. I think you were trying to say that earlier today, and we were talking about Kyler Murray, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it is. I would say yes, it is. I would say true. You've got more protection for the quarterbacks than ever before. You've got them being able to do things on the field that they were never able to do and not pay a physical price for it. I think they've become even more of a weapon athletically because of these rules than they've ever been in the past, and I think it's becoming more of a trait that teams are looking for in the quarterbacks they draft. So I would say, yes, it is shifting. I'm not saying it's an incomplete 180, but I think it has moved over the last handful of maybe the last decade for sure.
All right. I hear you. I'm not ready to go there. I think there's still something to be said for the pocket passer. I think the Bills got themselves one now that they're pretty excited about. I think size does matter. You want to have a guy who's big enough to see over the offensive line. I think athleticism matters more than ever. Maybe that's the paradigms that's shifting, you know.
Right.
Maybe, you know, Josh Allen is not a standard old-school pocket passer who can't move at all. He can move and will move well. But I'm going to go false, just because I want to go false. And one more.
You want to go
I don't want to agree with you.
All right.
Here's part two of NFL True and False. Another quarterback question. Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback. That's what his general manager said yesterday, Mike Mayock. Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback. Can I go first?
Yep.
True. True. He is. And he's fallen off the radar a little bit the last couple of years. I don't think he's benefited from a lot of coaching out there and just sort of an unsettled situation in Oakland. But I have no doubt that Derek Carr has all the essentials to be a really good NFL quarterback. No doubt at all. Yes, he is a franchise quarterback. I can see why Mike Mayock said that yesterday.
I say true as well, and he's a franchise quarterback right now without a franchise. They don't have a place to play. They don't have a roster around him. They're a hot dumpster fire of a mess. And their draft last year didn't make any sense. And I would be interested to see if their draft this year makes a little more sense. So I would say true. Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback without a team to play on.
We got one more, and it's so tasty that we have to get to it. True or false? Are you ready for this? And it's discussed this week at the competition committee meetings. True or false? NFL is getting ready to prevent players from leaving the sidelines for celebrations. And that's crazy. Is that true? Yes, that's true. The fact that it's crazy is true. Look, you don't want the game to stop for a half hour while people come off the bench. But, yeah, we're kind of getting back to the old no-fun league paradigm, speaking of paradigms, you know. You can't leave the bench if your team just scored a touchdown with 13 seconds to go, for example. Barring players from leaving the sidelines is crazy. That's true. Crazy and wrong.
It is true. It's wrong. They still – and it's – there's no reason for it. The play clock keeps going. They've got to finish it up. The play clock's going. They got to get the extra point off in the exact same amount of time they do, whether they come off the bench or not. Put the teams on the play clock just like you do every other play, and let's go. There's no reason to change it now. Let the coach do cartwheels. I don't care. As long as that play clock goes and that next play happens when it's supposed to happen,
fine.
Let them run.
Yeah.
So I think that's true, too. It is crazy.
There you go. NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. America's most wonderful
now,
cheese product.
New York's artisan cheese.
Thanks for correcting me. Steve and I coming back with more One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health from the Scouting Combine in Indy. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Time now for What Have We Learned, presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. They had a really good show today. We had Charles Davis on the show earlier today from the NFL on Fox, also from NFL Network. Charles Davis talked about the next steps for the Buffalo Bills. Here's what he said.
First step is to make sure you keep some bubble wrap around Josh Allen,
right?
I mean, he really did a nice job, didn't he? He showed a great amount of toughness last year, not just his ability to run the football, but being able to bounce back from some big hits, from some injuries, step in there and keep firing away. I like what he showed that way. The second part is the defense played awfully well, and, you know, that's Sean McDermott's specialty. Going back to when I saw you in preseason, the Cincinnati Bengals game, offensive line was immediately something that just jumped out at me, and I think that's still a place of huge need because I still remember seeing Geno Atkins make that big play, and I think it was John Miller, unfortunately, took back and knocked down the quarterback, and that left a heck of an impression on me. So I think offensive line, and this is a good draft for offensive linemen.
Charles Davis talking about a preseason game from last year. Pretty good. Also on the show today, Bills general manager Brandon Bean had a long conversation with him, and you can pick it up on our website later on today, buffalobills.com. One of the things he talked about was the informal conversations among teams here at the Combine that can eventually lead to deals between teams. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I've had three calls last week. Hey, just to get you ahead of the curve, we may move on from – you know, these guys on these teams, and asking me, did I have any guys that they should look at or any positions? And so That way, when we run into them here, hey, what did you think about this player? Would you be any interest in a swap or a swap for picks? And that will pick up even more once we get it into the workouts, because what happens is you're all in the dome, you're all in these suites, and this group will run, and then there's, you know, 20, 30 minutes of dead time. And so you walk down the hall, you see your buddy from this team, that team, and sometimes conversations you didn't even know were going to happen. And so who knows if anything will come to fruition, but we're always looking to improve our roster, and if there's a chance to do that, we'll try and make that move.
There you go, Brandon Bean. We had a good conversation with him. Steve, what did you learn from today's show?
Well, I learned that Permanente Brothers makes a good sandwich. I learned that everybody, there's as many media people here in this environment for the combine as there is Super and Radio Row at Super Bowl. Yeah.
Take a look around here.
But there's just not as many TV networks, but
the Super Bowl setup was three times the size of this Radio Row.
This seems pretty big to me. But yeah. Yeah, nah, this was a good show. I liked the show today. We had really good guests, surprisingly so, because I didn't know Matt. He was good. We got to get him back on.
Yeah.
We got to make him a regular.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Yeah,
by the way, we're going to have tomorrow's show, his partner on NFL matchup on ESPN, Greg Cosell, a normal Friday visitor, will be with us tomorrow. Lorenzo Alexander will be with us tomorrow. Am I missing somebody? There's somebody else on tomorrow's show. Oh, Bucky Brooks from
Bucky
the NFL
Brooks,
Network
yeah.
is going to be with us tomorrow. As good as today
former
was,
teammate of mine.
Tomorrow will be just as good.
Yes,
and
it
maybe
will.
We'll get you more Permanente Brothers tomorrow.
I think it's that's in my contract.
Production assistants for today's show, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, here in Indy, Simon Tuckey, and Sam Leck. And our producer is Jay Harris. I want to thank Chris Brown for being part of the show today as well. We are back tomorrow for our final Combine show. Join us 12 noon right here from the Indiana Convention Center. It's One Bills Live presented by Kalida Health from the NFL Scouting Combine, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.